This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Daniel Dickinson. In this week's programme, deaths of activists in Gambia highlight a worsening pre-electoral environment, and Somalia is on track to hold its first democratic elections in 47 years. But first, the brutal abduction of more than 100 children on the border between Ethiopia and South Sudan is a huge issue for both the countries and families involved. That's the view of James Elder, who's based in East Africa with the UN Children's Fund, UNICEF. He also condemned the mass killings in the same incident, which reportedly took place just inside Ethiopia, believed to have been carried out by armed cattle raiders from South Sudan. South Sudan has been in the grip of a civil war for more than 2 years, which has left millions displaced and tens of thousands dead. Matthew Wells asked Mr. Elder to describe what happened.
There was a raid, or indeed several raids, that occurred on Friday in the Gambela region of Ethiopia, which is to the west of the country. So there's a border there. And from everything that we hear from colleagues on the ground in Ethiopia and in South Sudan, it was that there was a large number of attackers, most likely cattle raiders from South Sudan, who entered into Ethiopia and then undertook what was a very, very violent raid. I think that cross-border cattle raids are not at all uncommon in South Sudan, either now in times of great crisis or indeed historically in better times in the country. What certainly seems abnormal in this one was the scope and the level of the violence and, of course, this kidnapping of large numbers of children.
We're talking about dozens of children who've been abducted. Is there a pattern of this in previous incidents?
If this was, as many reports say, the Merle tribesmen from South Sudan, there have been abductions in the past, but nothing to this scope, nothing reported at least to this scope, where most recently today Ethiopian government sources said it was around 102 children were abducted, which is, of course, is an enormous number.
I mean, why would children be taken along with cattle? Are they seen as assets in the same way?
Short answer, yes. More extended answer, that you'd have to get into, you know, kind of anthropological discussion on the Merle tribes people. But the abduction of children, particularly such a large number of children, is virtually unreported prior to last week. The relevance to South Sudan, beyond that these people came from there, is really just, that the country is crumbling, and that after more than 2 years now of conflict, things would rarely have been more desperate in country. And that may, of course, feed into this type of raid, the severity of it. Certainly, South Sudan is now a hotbed of untold atrocities against women and children.
And is there any role for UNICEF to play at this stage in terms of trying to recover these children or to lend support to those efforts?
Yes, always. I mean, we have people on the ground in so many areas, and particularly in South Sudan. These are very remote areas of the country, of course, but UNICEF was very quick to lend its support to the government of Ethiopia, both in terms of any requests that the government may have, and of course, once we hope the children are found, then in terms of reuniting them with family, psychological support, all of those things that UNICEF really has been doing for children in South Sudan for the last 2.5 years.
Matthew Wells speaking to UNICEF's James Elder. The deaths of three activists arrested at a peaceful protest in Gambia are indicative of the alarming political situation in the West African country. That's according to Ravina Shamdasani, a spokesperson for the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights. Leading opposition politician Solo Sandeng was among the three activists who died when state security forces broke up peaceful protests in mid-April. Demonstrations in Gambia come ahead of elections in December, where President Yahya Jammeh has been in power for more than 20 years. Ravina Shamdasani spoke to Daniel Johnson about the situation.
The High Commissioner is very disturbed by the deaths in state custody of an opposition leader in the Gambia, Solo Sandeng. We understand that two others also died in custody. Now, these are people who were arrested on Thursday last week for their participation in a peaceful protest. And we understand that there were many other protesters as well who were arrested, reportedly rather brutally arrested, and some of them are suffering from serious injuries while they're in detention.
So obviously they need attention fairly quickly.
Exactly. I mean, it's very very difficult to verify reports, but we even have reports that one of the protesters who was arrested is in a coma. So it is extremely urgent for them to receive prompt medical attention. And this is an obligation of the government of the Gambia to ensure that they do receive this medical attention.
Now, what is the UN's reach into the Gambia? Because they did participate in the Universal Periodic Review of States, and indeed some special rapporteurs were invited into the country in 2014, I believe, but that visit didn't go particularly well because of problems of access into certain parts of prisons. So where are we now in the Gambia?
Yes, exactly. This is what I mean by it. It's very difficult to verify information in the country. We are in touch with people inside the country, so the information we're getting is firsthand. However, despite our repeated calls on the government to improve this pre-electoral environment, it seems that it is only worsening, which is why we resorted to the option of issuing a public statement to express our alarm and to call on the government to respect the freedom of peaceful assembly, the freedom of expression, and to ensure that those who are arrested are not tortured, are not treated badly. In cases where people are treated badly, this needs to be investigated and the perpetrators brought to justice.
Somalia remains on track to hold its first democratic elections in almost half a century, in what's been described as a decisive year for the Horn of Africa country. That's according to Somalia's president, Hassan Sheikh Mahmoud, who recently briefed the UN Security Council. He described the elections, which are due to take place by August, as historic, although a vote based on universal suffrage is not due until 2020. Matthew Wells has more.
Until 2012, Somalia had been in a state of near-constant civil conflict following the collapse of its central government in 1991. But the last 4 years have seen a major transformation of the country's government and institutions, said President Mahmoud.
2016 will be a decisive year for Somalia. Last week, we successfully agreed the implementation roadmap for 2016 electoral process. This means we are on the track to undergo the historic first democratic electoral process in 47 years in Somalia.
He thanked the Security Council and the international community at large for supporting Somalia's resurgence through the UN Mission and Support Office and the African Union Mission in Somalia, AMISOM. He added that although a strict arms embargo had been essential in the past for helping stem the flow of arms to terrorist groups like Al-Shabaab, it was now standing in the way of national security. Although partially lifted, it needed to go, he said.
This will enhance our national capability to confront and defeat international terrorism at home and provide the best protection for our citizens. These instruments are outdated and restrictive at the best and misleading and undermining at the worst.
Giving the overview from a UN perspective, Special Representative for the country, Michael Keating, said that the broad momentum towards a fully functioning federal government was creating historic opportunities. But huge challenges remained, he added, not least the onset of a major drought. There could be no repeat of the 260,000 lives lost to drought in 2011, he said, and humanitarian aid and support was essential.
The challenges faced by Somalis are formidable. The progress is real, but reversible. The state formation and electoral processes remain vulnerable to spoilers. AMISOM needs more support and cannot stay forever. So we must do our best to make sure that progress is not reversed, to build national capacity of the Somalis to take over from AMISOM and to generate the jobs and revenues needed for a sustainable state. Our and my efforts to do this depend in large part upon the unity of this council.
Speaking on behalf of the African Union and AMISOM, its permanent observer, Tet Antonio, said that it was critical the Council renewed the mission's mandate next month. He said the 22,000-strong force was the minimum needed to bolster government forces in the fight against Al-Shabaab. Extra resources had been agreed this year, which would help to bolster the historic electoral process.
This will ensure that Al-Shabaab does not succeed in its attempt to disrupt upcoming elections in Somalia and will make it possible for them to take place in an enabling, safe and secure environment.
In a major electoral reform milestone, political leaders in Somalia also agreed to set aside 30% of seats in the new federal system for women. Compared to elections 4 years ago, the electorate itself will be 100 times larger, offering a genuine choice of candidates, said Michael Keating. Matthew Wells, United Nations.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN and Africa. You can follow more of our programmes at radio.un.org. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Daniel Dickinson.